Yes, welcome to SEN Breakfast, Tuesday, June 29. The McCafe menu loaded up. We got BP, Brett Phillips to chat. Wimbledon, Stefanos Tsitsipas, and first round casualty again in London. We'll cross to BP to talk about that. Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post to wrap up the Travelers Championship that we spent a bit of time talking about yesterday. Oh. It went to eight playoff holes, if you don't mind, and I think equaled the second longest sudden death playoff in PGA Tour history. So Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post will take us through that. North Melbourne forward Cam Zerha, due to popular demand, is going to join us at 8 o'clock. All of your calls, 1300 736 736, and texts on the Temper text machine, 0433 98 11 16. Plenty of footy, plenty of live sport as well with the Euros ongoing. Tour de France carnage last night as I welcome you, D. King. Welcome, David.
Sammy boy, how are you, mate?
I'm well. How are you?
Great.
It's been happening.
That was hilarious yesterday, that playoff. Eight holes. I told you there were two non-winners. No one knew how to win.
It dragged English well on through our show and well into Kane.
Our man Desi English got the job done in the end.
He did.
He beat Wild Bill Hickok. I think we left work at 9, finished at about 11 o'clock. It was ridiculous.
And I think your man Bubba Watson, did he shoot 5 over in the last 6 holes six over in the last 5 holes? Something like that in the end. Absolute carnage.
Been a bit going on.
We struggled through the live reads, but we got there. So wait for them later. That only took half an hour. And I thought on the way in, I better message you for a coffee because, geez, I've caught my social media feed. My mum was calling me up, giving me stick for not getting Kingy a coffee. My dad, my grandma, everyone on the family tree. Geez, you should have got Kingy a coffee.
Because I'll be honest with you, I was worried about the parenting of you as a young man, given the lack of empathy and thought for your workmates.
You took so long to reply. This time,
I
messaged you this morning on the way to the McCafe, and I said, dare I ask, do you want a coffee? And no reply. And I thought, I'll learn from my lesson. So I get you one. I'll get you a flat white because I know now that you like your flat whites. I say flat white for David.
When you say no reply.
And the flat white comes in.
3 minutes later.
The flat white, I think there's something wrong with your phone. The flat white comes out, get it in the car, then the message, bing. Oh, no. No, I'm right, mate. No, I'm right.
I'm right, mate.
And then you come in with your own one.
I can't take the risk on you.
I can't read. I can't get a read on you.
No, the read is don't bother, mate. Because I can't take the risk on being empty-handed again.
It's going to be like that, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Hey,
just deleted a banh mi and a coffee.
What about that golf was unbelievable. So we'll have a chat to Mark Cannizzaro about that. Eight playoff holes. Reminded me of a famous movie we all love.
Damn you people, this is golf at a rock concert.
They were out of control. No Shooter McGavin. They were out of control over there in Connecticut watching that unfold. Now, I don't know if it was a full moon yesterday, but all sorts of bizarre.
You both. I'll tell you. Look, just to let our listeners in, I get some the old WhatsApp updating through the course of it. Yesterday afternoon, I was a bit hazy. I was a bit tired yesterday afternoon. Hit the wall. I don't know what you guys look at. What's your source material, where it comes from? You found some weird stuff, real weird stuff.
Well, this made news. This was a big story. Two nude sunbathing men. You weren't up in New South Wales, were you? In New South Wales, bushland. They got lost. They were startled by a deer and had to be rescued by police. Now, keep in mind they're in lockdown in that part of the world, so the authorities weren't too pleased when they had to rescue two men nude in the Royal National Park at Otford on the south coast there of New South Wales. One was fully naked. The pair was slugged $1,000 fines each for breaking coronavirus restrictions.
Were they?
And fully nude. Fully naked. New South Wales Police Chief Mick Fuller, well, he kept a straight face when he delivered the news. This is how he did it.
Unbelievably, we saw two men sunbathing naked on a beach on the south coast. They were startled by a deer, ran into the National Forest, National Park, and got lost.
You've ruined your track record there.
Mick's kept a straight face and said, it's difficult to legislate against idiots.
Well,
what were they doing out there? Sunbaking?
It sort of seems to me like the story got big too. I know there was a deer come along and we had to get, we ran into the forest and then we got lost. Is it a common thing, do you think? Have you ever been to a nudist beach?
Yes.
You have?
I didn't partake. I stumbled across it by accident. You know the one up in... Everyone's been to Noosa. You know the one over the back of the national park there in Noosa?
The fact you went there 3 days in a row.
Well, the first time it was a surprise. Then it wasn't.
Then it became part of your walk.
Oh, geez. Sometimes you just stumble across something that you shouldn't, Kingy.
They only got $1,000 fine, those guys.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. For breaking coronavirus restrictions. So sometimes you stumble across something that you don't. How about this news via the BBC?
Would have been an accident.
This news yesterday.
Well, he's an idiot.
Sensitive defence documents containing details about the British military were found at a bus stop in England on the weekend. The papers included plans for, this is what the BBC's reported, a possible UK military presence in Afghanistan. It's not just pick up some milk on the way home, Dale, as well as discussion about the potential Russian reaction to the British warship, HMS Defender's travel through waters off the Crimean coast last week, and a member of the public who wanted to remain unnamed contacted the BBC when they found this big pile of documents, 50 pages of them, a soggy heap. Behind a bus stop in Kent, just southeast of London there. The things you find at the bus stop.
What's going on? Seriously.
This is a bit of Keystone Cops about it.
If you could find the secret documents to anything across our little sphere, what would it be? I'd like the secret documents on the Carlton list build.
Remember the famous secret documents, the Buddy Franklin documents about the that were found by Channel 7 back in the day? That reverberated for quite some time.
That didn't go well, did it?
Probably don't need to talk about for too long.
Legal reasons.
Dom's text in about our nude sunbakers.
Thanks for taking us there.
Our nude sunbakers, Kingy. Dom suggests they're a bit stiff.
Bit stiff. And oh dear, has come through from Leo.
Yeah.
Nude sunbakers.
Hey, news official too, by the way, just before we went to air, Basketball Australia releasing a statement to say that Ben Simmons has made it official he will not be going to the Olympic Games and that he advised the head coach Brian Gorgian of his decision officially. He told Brian Gorgian, the manager, the coach, that he required this upcoming period of time to focus on individual skill development and wishes the team well for the Olympics in Tokyo. And via this statement, Brian Gorgian is quoted as saying, "It is a pretty rough time for Ben right now, and I know it is something that he wanted to do, that is go to the Olympics, but the timing just hasn't worked. The best thing for everybody right now is for him to go on and develop that skill package and improve in a couple of areas for his next season in the NBA. But the Boomers are always here for him. We wanted him to know that in his time of need. The culture and the guys here are behind him and support him." That's a blow.
Yeah. Do you think that'll affect his popularity?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's fair or unfair, but no doubt. I don't know if Australia has actually warmed to him as well as what perhaps they should have or could have. Dale's text in, "Morning boys, thoughts on the Ben Simmons opting out of the Olympics. I honestly think we wipe him as an Aussie. It's a disgrace." Yeah, that's the extreme view.
Yeah, well, I don't know where I sit. I actually don't know because I don't know what the standard is for players that have reached the pinnacle of their sport like this. It's such a big money industry, isn't it? You are a business at the end of the day. So he's making a commercial decision, isn't he, to protect and get better and to be a better package, if you like.
Yeah.
He's clearly moving. Clearly he's out.
Well, it sounds like he can't go back to Philly.
Yeah, no, they won't let him back in.
And whether he can keep playing with Joel Embiid, because they've had a bit of a falling out as well. He called him out, Joel. So... look, he's got flaws in his game at the moment, clearly lost his nerve in the playoffs at a really difficult time for him. He probably feels the last thing he wants to do now is put himself back into the spotlight at the Olympic Games. Although, when you hear from Andrew Gaze...
He was great on it last week, wasn't he?
And the guys that have been in the squad, like Phil Smyth, and who are in the squad now, they would have wrapped their arms around him. It might have been the best place for him to go, but personally, my point of view, I can understand.
Go and play under pressure. Go and get yourself back in that exact same environment.
Oh, it's so raw.
And challenge yourself to handle it differently. That would be the... They don't really have... I don't know whether they have great support systems or great advice coming in these times of need, you know, under genuine personal pressure. I mean, it would be tough being the face of the reason why you're out of the playoffs.
100%.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
We got players and that complain about us just showing a bit of vision here and there.
And that sporting community at Philadelphia, I mean, it is said that they boo Santa Claus. They are as passionate as supporter group in all their sports as there is in the US. So not an easy place to play when things aren't going too well for you. And the early temperature test off the temper, not a lot of sympathy for
Ben sympathy
Simmons.
At all.
Zero sympathy. We might even... country must always come first in sport is probably the only one I can read out of the batch that have landed this morning. Some of them are pretty vicious.
I get disappointed with the guys that say they'll do it all the way to a point and that, no, I'm not going to do it.
That's probably the thing that annoys people, isn't it?
Yeah.
The tease element of it. The Euros are on at the moment. Earlier this morning, our time, Spain 5, Croatia 3, an 8-goal thriller in the round of 16. And a bit of an upset brewing between Switzerland.
Is that a penalty shootout?
No, that's the regular score. No, extra time required. 5-3. Switzerland 1, France 0, 56 minutes into that one. So an upset brewing. France, of course, are the world champions at the moment, with a bit of a job to do against the Swiss. Speaking of matters in Europe, wouldn't have stayed up to watch the Tour de France. I know that, Kingy, but unbelievable scenes. New levels of carnage overnight at the Tour de France.
Wouldn't even watch it at midday, to be honest.
You would have watched this, though, because if you thought Stage 2 was crazy with cardboard sign-wielding fans bringing down 60-odd riders at 70 kilometres an hour, it was unbelievable last night, Stage 3. A sickening succession of crashes. And a lot of cyclists and a lot of commentators highly critical of the race route. So quickly, Robert Hessink out of the Tour. Geraint Thomas, who's going for the overall title, suffered a dislocated shoulder but kept going. Primoz Roglic went down. Jack Haig went down. The defending champ, Tadej Pogacar, crashed. Three major crashes in the last 10 kilometres, and the worst of them came in the final few 100 metres. Now, the Aussie, Caleb Ewan, he hit the deck with Peter Sagan going north of 60 kilometres an hour. He suffered a broken collarbone. Oh. He's out of the Tour de France, which is a real shame. And this is how it went down.
What a day for the Tour de France. It is going to be Tim Merlier on the wheel of Alpecin Fenix. Sagan is there. Ewan is there. Buani is there. Who's going to strike first? Merlier. Oh!
Big crash by Caleb Ewan, tied up with Peter Sagan there.
And it is going to be on the line. Tim Merlier, double stages for Alpecin Fenix.
Sickening crashes, I'm telling you. They're coming down. There's 180 guys fighting for a stretch of road that's only 8 metres wide, and they're going 60, 70 kilometres an hour into these finish lines at times, and with no protection.
It's the only time that you cyclists feel popular, isn't it, when the Tour de France is on, isn't it?
Feel popular.
Generally very unpopular people on the
roads.
Don't
feel the need to be popular. But if you want to see the crashes, Kingy,
yes,
watch them, and then if you want to relate, might be hard to relate, just go down the Pan Highway. We get your Mazda, Ringwood Mazda, up to 60 kilometres an hour, wind the window down and jump out. Because that's pretty much what's happening at the Tour de France.
Ringwood Nissan, please. Wash your mouth.
Ringwood Nissan. Apologies.
Oh, God.
Oh, at least I know what fuel goes in it.
The hef would be filthy on that.
Ringwood Nissan. Hey, the big news is Ben Simmons, though. Not the Australian way, Rob in Karratha has suggested. So... already lost respect for Simmons. If the Olympics isn't the pinnacle for your sport, that sport shouldn't be in the Olympics. No sympathy whatsoever for Ben Simmons at the moment. Everyone's saying he should suit up and get over there to Tokyo.
Have your own opinion on it. That's what it's all about. That's what we do, isn't it?
Steve's in Sydney. He wants to have his say on it early on. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Hey, we're well.
That's good. I actually think it's a courageous decision based on the fact that he's not really shooting at all. And his game's nowhere near where it needs to be. I'm not sure he'd be an asset to the Australian team.
Oh.
And so when you look at that side of the coin, you go, well, maybe he's made a selfless decision knowing that he's not going to do the right thing by the Aussie team and put them first as well.
Fair play, Steve. He'd be in our squad, though, for sure.
I think
for all his current issues, he would definitely be good enough to be in our squad, though, wouldn't he, Stephen?
Oh, I think he would, but I just don't think he's not confident at all, right? If you watched him last week, he was nowhere near the player he was 12 months ago. And so, you know, I think there's two sides to it. And I know when you talk to elite level, if you don't have the confidence, you're not going to be, you're not going to do what you need to do. And I think, you know, just at that time, he's probably made the right call for him and I think the team. Anyway. Just another view.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for calling in. He certainly got his issues. He's too scared to even take it to the... Okay, it's one thing not to take threes or shoot from perimeter, as we know he's reluctant to do, but he wasn't even taking it to the basket. in these games because he was scared of being fouled and going to the free throw line where
I don't
he was
know
really
enough
struggling.
About this code, to be honest, this sport, but if a guy's worth 35 to 40 million a year, I think he's good enough to be in our team.
Yeah. Yeah. A, the Euros. I mentioned the Swiss are up 1-0 and the French had it all to do. They've scored twice in 2 minutes. Yeah. Karim Benzema with a brace. It's France 2, Switzerland 1. Mick's down in Hastings, just while we're on the subject of Ben Simmons as well. Welcome to the show, Mick.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Hey, we're going well.
Yeah, I think it's a bit rough on Simmons to be bagging him about this decision because, you know, it's his livelihood at the end of the day, and he's made a choice to get better at what he does over there. And I put it to anybody that would handle going through the criticism that that poor bloke's going through right now over there. It's just, you know, nobody would handle it. I mean, look at the criticism our AFL players get, and they can't handle that here. Imagine what it'd be like with another couple of $100 million over there.
Spot on, Mick. You know, it'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And then we've got that boxer, too, that, you know, all his life he's wanted to box at the Olympics. He gets to the Olympics and he breaks his hand fighting some thug like Gallen.
Hooney.
I mean, it's just Hooney, yeah. It's just not right how some things go. I mean, he didn't have to take that fight against Gallen, I guess, but he does it to do the right thing by Australia and our sporting public. And now he's broken his hand and he can't go to do what he was actually going to do in the first place. It's devastating for those fellas. And for anybody to be bagging them, bagging Simmons for a start, I don't think they're bagging Hooney, but anyone bagging Simmons, they need to have a real hard look at themselves because, seriously, this man's doing everything he can for his given sport.
Mm.
And he's an employee too, so he's got to do the right thing by his employer, hasn't he?
Mick, I'm just... That's a great call. I'm just testing the landscape with some of our listeners and our callers this morning.
It's coming back the other way.
Mick, have you ever been nude sunbaking with any of your mates?
Got to say, I haven't, Kingy. I've done a lot of things with my mates over the time, especially through footy career, but I've never done that. No.
And never been startled by a deer as a result? No.
See if you can tick that off before Christmas, Mick. You haven't really lived until you've been chased into the forest by a deer.
Might have to look into it, mate, down at Kilda Beach or something. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Good on you, Mick. Good on you. You know what? It wasn't even the stranger story yesterday, the nude sunbathers.
Oh,
it was
no.
a stranger one. We'll get to that in a moment. Get to it in a moment. This unbelievable
I'm sure up. Who's weird? Are you those guys or you?
The counter view on Ben Simmons coming through now, Michael and Q. The Australian public is a joke. The bloke has copped it so badly from the public in Philly, you would think we as Australians would get behind him, but the classic tall poppy Australians want to kick him when he's down. And Cam says, basketball isn't a sport you play for your national team. Have a look at the American team, third string.
I hear the stories coming through yesterday on the WhatsApp from you. Right. Start reading them, I think. It starts when someone offers you a coffee. Next thing they're asking you to go for beach walks. You're going to ask me to nude sunbathe with you, aren't you?
By Friday. Back after this.
Peter Jackson, half-yearly clearance sale. Merino wool suits from $359, up to 60% off store-wide. Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Plenty to come today. Brett Phillips to talk Wimbledon. Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post to wrap up the Travellers Championship that went to 8 playoff holes. Looking forward to our chat with Cam Zerha, the enigmatic North Melbourne forward. Your calls and texts as well. Plenty happening in the world of sport. Gee, the Tour de France, brutal last night. Dean's text in. They should have barricades to stop people from getting too close. It's not that hard. Well, Dean, when the course runs for 3,500 kilometres in some of the most remote areas of the country, it is pretty hard. You got 3,500 kilometres worth of metal barriers to put up? That cardboard sign got held up in the middle of nowhere, farmlands, with just people gathered on the side of the road. It is a natural amphitheatre. It's the beauty and the beast all rolled into one that makes that sporting event so unique. Joel, David King has no idea on cycling. The tour riders are some of the hardest athletes in the world. They ride with broken arms and shoulders and ribs and
lungs. I've got enormous respect for them, but Sam sits here and he thinks he is one of those tour riders.
No, he doesn't. There's no need to be that.
It's true.
Got you thinking about bravest acts in sport.
When you watched it last night, do you put your lycra on when you watch it?
When I watched it, I cringed. I could not believe how brutal the crash was. Like, there's no getting up from that.
Let's be serious for a moment. So you're saying that someone finished the ride yesterday with a broken collarbone, is that right?
Well, it has happened in the past. No, not last night. It was a dislocated shoulder.
Same, very similar.
Yep. Shoulder popped out, shoved back in, finished the stage. off to hospital for scans. They get the scans after they finish the event, and they see if they can back it up and do it all again tomorrow with another 18-odd stages still to come through some of the toughest terrain in the world. So it got us thinking during the break about toughest acts you've seen in sport.
What's the toughest thing that you've sat back and gone, that's I'm not sure I could do that.
Yeah. 1-300-736-736. We'll take the tempers as well on the temper text machine, a mattress like no other. 0433 98 11 16. And don't forget the call of the year as well, where you could win a 2021 Toyota Hilux Rugged X valued at over $75,000. Effortless luxury, the all-new Toyota Kluger is online today. Just a quick traffic update while I see it here, Kingy. Sunshine Avenue, city-bound Western Ring Road. There's a car that's tipped on its side, and the traffic is backed up for a significant amount of time there, kilometres, I'm told. So stay away from Sunshine Avenue, city-bound on the Western Ring Road. There's a car on its side there and all sorts of traffic mayhem. Andrew's in Thomastown. Welcome to SEM Breakfast there, Andy.
Morning, gents. Look, I'll start by saying I'm a Carlton supporter, so Zach Williams probably deserved a week. But Tom Stewart did the same thing and didn't get cited. Now, how did Fogarty not even get a fine for Jacob Weidrick? A bit stiff, I think.
A bit stiff, but I guess you could argue, Kingy, that as crude as Darcy's act was,
before
at least
Andrew goes, yeah. You still there, Andrew?
Yeah, mate, still here.
So do you think, just as a blanket rule, that sort of act is worth a week or not? What Williams has done?
Oh, what Williams has done? That was just stupid. It happens probably three times every game, and it doesn't get cited. It's really dumb. It's slamming someone's head into the ground. It's just stupid. It's a dog act.
So, yes, it's worth a week. More than a week?
Oh, more 2 weeks. Give him 2.
Interesting, isn't it?
We got a week. At least Darcy Fogarty's, I was going to say, as crude as it was, at least it was considered, quote-unquote, a footy act. I mean, it's in a marking contest. There's a melee that breaks out as a result, and it's well off the field of play on the firm part of Marvel Stadium, and he picks him up by the jumper and slams his hand in the ground. It wasn't a great look, and some people might argue impact and how severe it was. Well, I think a week is about right for mine, Kingy, but it could have been worse.
You don't have to have the guy laying concussed on on the deck there to say, oh, yeah, no, that's significant enough impact. We better give that one a fine. I mean, it's the action. I'm a bit with you, though, Andrew, that the initial bump in the back, or what would you call it? He lined him up, he nailed him, Weidrick backing back with the flight. He has to be protected by a game. Mm. I don't think a free kick's enough or a 50-minute penalty is enough in that instance. To me, that should have also come before the MRO.
Yep. We'll get to the MRO because there was some fair findings in that one. Nominations coming through on toughest thing you've seen in sport. Nicky Lauda, after being badly burnt in his car. Lockie Neal on the weekend was tough. Do you have an update on his shoulder? Well, he's going to play, John, we believe. Dipper in the 89 grand final.
That's a good one, Bill.
Byron Pickett responsible for some tough acts on the field. Your mate Kingy. Darren Creswell, that was brutal, wasn't it? Remember when he slapped his dislocated kneecap back into place? Oh, that was unbelievable. Luke Hodge, broken ribs, 08 prelim, spitting blood, and then one norm the next week. Nigel Lappin played with
broken ribs. We were talking about Hodgie playing with broken ribs. Do you remember the start of the game when he went out? I can't remember who it was. Might have been Matty Stokes or something. He lifted his arms in the air and he said, hit him, go on.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're punching his ribs.
Yeah.
And he had like a little guard on it.
Far out.
But how tough's that?
Morning, lads. Dale Morris, 2016 finals, playing with a broken back, of course. Who knows how many other games he played when he shouldn't have.